Thanks to Tifosi Optics, maker of my favorite sunglasses, for supporting our show. The folks at Tifosi design sunglasses that allow you to get out and live your passion, which is why I wear Tifosi sunglasses running, playing pickleball, and strolling around town. Get 20% off with code AMR20 at TifosiOptics.com. Thanks to Lagoon Sleep for sponsoring our show. Wherever you are in your running journey, rest and recovery are critical. For deep, restorative sleep, switch to a performance pillow from Lagoon. Use the code AMR for 15% off your first purchase at lagoonsleep.com/AMR. Welcome to AMR Answers. This is Sarah Bowen-Shea.
And this is Dimity McDowell, fresh off a trip to University of Utah. Sarah, I was out visiting the Utes yesterday.
You're thinking
a little college. You're
going to go back to school, Dim?
I mean, I would like to. That is one thing about touring colleges. If you are in that age group where your kids are, you know, junior, seniors, maybe even sophomores, like you go on these campuses and all I can think is, we didn't have that. We didn't have that. My dorm didn't look like that. You know, like, just like, it's like I become like this pesky little like oldest child. Like, why does he get what I don't get?
Right. Oh my goodness. Yeah. So you were texting me and you were so just jacked up about everything. You were really excited while you were out there.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, again, so it's a, you know, so Ben, my son, just to back up, he is a senior, just like, you know, they're doing what your kids, your twins did last year, Sarah. Mm-hmm. Ben wants to do musical theater, just like John does. So musical theater, just a quick primer, like it makes sense to get into the program first before you go see the school because they are small class sizes. They are anywhere between 10 and 30, or maybe sometimes a little bit bigger, but you're looking at a small, you know, the acceptance rate is not high. So you're going to waste some dollars going to see schools that may not work because they have to audition for pretty much every school. Mm-hmm. So that's why we're doing this now instead of, say, in the fall. Mm-hmm. And so we went yesterday to see Utah, which shout out to all of our Utahians. Utahns? How do you say that? I don't know.
Utes.
The Utes. Yeah, the Utes. Beautiful day there. And just a gorgeous school. I mean, the, you know, it's March right now. So there's snow on the mountains. It's like, you know, you can see the scenery is stunning. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, everything. I mean, of course, I texted you about the treadmill desks in the library. I was like, are you kidding me? They have a couple treadmill desks and they also have desks that have like, you know, like a bike underneath.
No, they do not.
Where you can, yeah, you can pedal your legs. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, of course they weren't being used. Actually, the two treadmill desks were being used. I took pictures. I can put them up online. It's not that exciting to see, but yeah. So they were being used. And then they also have podcast studios in the library, which,
oh my gosh,
that like, again, like I'm like, the library felt like it was for everything but books, you know, like, cause that's just how the world is going. Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that was cool. But, I thought about you, Sarah, because, so yesterday we just made a day trip out of it. It's like a little over an hour flight back and forth between Denver and Salt Lake. So just to minimize cost and be efficient, we just went for the day. And so we like trying to keep up with Ben in the airport. Like I was like, oh my gosh, this is what Sarah must have felt like with me at expos. Like, you know, he is on a mission to get to that gate. And I, for the life of me, couldn't match his stride. I couldn't. I mean, I just don't have that anymore. So,
oh my gosh. We should point out that your son, Ben, is 6'9".
Yes.
You are almost 6'4".
Yeah.
And I'm 5'11". So see, it steps down. It's five inches.
5 inches makes a difference. I know. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. And I just, oh my gosh. He must honestly walk as fast as some people run.
Oh, I think he does. I definitely think he does. I mean, he has that, he's like me in that way that he does like to walk fast. Mm-hmm. And if you are just on a mission, like you can't, I've noticed recently that I'm slowing down a little bit in my walking. Yeah. Just with time and, you know, maybe not as much, you know, urgency in my life anymore. So it was just kind of funny. It was just like, I was like, oh, I feel, and my mom, it's funny when I used to walk with my mom, She would just be like, I can't keep up. You know, this is now I know how other people feel when I walk with them, you know? So it's like this like domino thing, like, okay, okay.
Empathy domino effect.
Empathy domino effect. Yes, yes. So we're going to go see a couple. We're going to go see, I've got a school tomorrow in St. Louis, which is a smaller campus. It's Webster University, if anyone's heard of that. And then we're going to go see a couple out east. And so I decided that I'm going to keep a little, my own little game is how many steps do I take? Because again, yesterday, like we started at, you know, parking on the airport, walking into the, you know, the off, not, we weren't off airport, but we were in the, like the cheap lot, right? We didn't do covered, uncovered, I guess is what I'm looking for. I did uncovered. So longer walk to the terminal and then, you know, and then lots of steps. So basically I took like 21,500 steps yesterday.
Wow. Because you said that the tour of the University of Utah campus was 2 hours long.
It's 2 hours long, yeah. And it was like 2 miles of that, of just walking. So,
oh my gosh, look at you keeping such close track.
Well, no, that was, Ben told me that. He's like, this is two miles long. Yeah, I think that they put that in the literature or something like that. So people are prepared. But anyway, so I'm interested to see how this, how my 21,000 steps compare to a, you know, a smaller school with a smaller campus, you know. So anyway, I know it's scintillating. It's scintillating. But
no, I want to see the chart, A Mother Runner's Guide to Campus Visits. And it's, you know, exactly. how they compare.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously, I'm going to do it because, it's so funny because last night I'm like, when we landed, I was like, we landed. I'm like, we still had to walk back to our car. And I was like, Ben, don't let me forget to take a picture of my like steps. But I didn't want to do it until I got to the car.
Sure.
And
then I got the credit.
Uh-huh. Exactly. And then I got home and I was brushing my teeth and I'm like, oh my God, I forgot. And so like, I had my watch on. I just remembered because we got home at like 11 and, you know, it turns over at midnight, like Cinderella and the pumpkin, you know? So I had to go over and go down and get my phone, take the picture. So I've got it. I've got the proof.
Yes. I was going to say, otherwise it didn't happen, Dimity.
It didn't. The whole day didn't. So anyway, so I apologize to you, Sarah, for always being like, come on, keep up. Cause you're like, I am doing the best I can.
I just remember, and eventually I just would let you, like, I wouldn't even bother to try to keep up.
Yes.
I just remember, particularly when we were down at Disney and Orlando.
I was just thinking, I definitely remember Disney. Oh, yes. Yeah. And I just feel like, yeah. And I was like, Ben, can you just like slow down a little bit? So we walked together and he's like, what's the problem? I'm like, yeah. I mean, he didn't say that, but you know, he kind of gave me that look like, I'm like,
well,
all right.
But when my family was in Japan over the holiday break, when we were there on vacation, I would say to them, I'm like, can you please wait up for me? Just like, we're here together. Can we walk together?
Yeah.
And I got some pushback on that one.
Exactly. I know.
Oh my goodness. All right. Well, for our first question, it has to do with moms and kids, so that's appropriate. So this is soccer mom Sarah, who's looking to start a running group.
Hello, this is Sarah from Richmond, Virginia. Hello, Sarah and Dimitri and the rest of the team. Thank you for your fierceness in keeping this virtual community alive and well. Thank you so much. Well, let me tell you first that I found a fantastic group of mothers. They all attend soccer practices with our cherubs. Our kids are Latino children from 6 to high schoolers who play soccer. So the dads coach and the kids play and the moms watch. Well, practice lasts 2 hours. So what I started doing is that I would practice for an hour, run for an hour, and then I would feed and chat with the other moms. But the new season is starting in early March, and several moms say, I would like to jog with you and run with you, and I am thrilled. Actually, I'm super excited to be in like a group of Latino moms who run. So my question for you is, what advice would you have to start a running group? So should we start slow, or should we have a goal, like signing up for a race? Should we write commitments or, I don't know, let the group date its course and ask the moms what they want to do and follow? Or, I don't know, I was thinking to subscribe to one of your programs, but here's some spice to the issue. These moms have a very, very tight budget. So if there's any money, well, we'll buy cleats for the growing kids instead of running shoes for the moms. So having said that, so any ideas would be welcome. And thank you so much for having this work.
Dimity, I suspect I speak for both of us when I say how much I love this message. Just love it with all my heart.
Oh, it's like everything we stand for. Fierceness, first of all. That's an awesome word. And utilizing your time, right? Like not just sitting on the sidelines. We talk about it all the time. Go run some laps while your kids are playing too. And then bringing other people in and helping them learn to run. I mean, come on. Like that is our, I mean, Sarah, you're just, you are nailing it.
Yeah. So I think, you know, the first thing I thought of was kind of the logistics of it all. That because you want to make sure, as you said, you know, it's about community, it's about inclusiveness, and you want to make sure that everybody feels welcome and understanding of what's happening, not having to always, you know, ask, you know, Angela, what's going on? But if you have something like, I was thinking about maybe a WhatsApp group or a group text thread, you know, so that folks can turn there for answers instead of trying to, you know, figure out. Because also, you know, you get some people who maybe are introverts and they don't want to bother other people or be perceived as bothering other people. So, and then, but in that, someone obviously has to step up to take the lead. I suspect it's our friend Sarah. And that person needs to realize that, you know, that means taking on a bit of work or also having to make a few executive decisions, which not everybody's comfortable doing. So that I think when people think about starting a running group, you have to decide, am I that type of person? You know, am I the type of person who's really willing to, you know, if we're all standing at the same level, you know, and to be the gopher that sticks your head up out of the hole.
Sure. Well, it sounds like she is just because she called in with this question, right? I mean, I definitely feel like she is.
So, and that making things clear at the outset, what the intent of the group is so that, you know, saying all paces and or levels of experience are welcome and things like that. You know, Dim, I think about a phrase you and I toss around a lot, which is clarity is kindness.
For sure.
That you don't just, well, everybody must assume that we mean that. Well, you know, we all know what happens when you assume.
And also running, especially if you're coming to it for the first time, right? I mean, I think a lot of us think of running as like, I mean, I still sometimes think of it as like the presidential physical fitness test, right? Like that is the first, not anymore really, but you know, like that, if you haven't run as an adult, that's, you know, you often think of it's like, is it sprinting? Is it going hard? Is it, you know, so setting those expectations, I mean, and we're going to send them our 5K run walk program, because we're going to talk about this in a minute. We definitely think a 5K is a great idea for them. So, I mean, the things that I would do, I would definitely, you know, start with walking. Right. I don't know how active her group is, but if it was an ideal setup, you know, they have their soccer field and maybe it's at a park that has maybe a longer loop and you're just on that loop. And I think that's a really, or a track or somewhere where you can be communally together, but not necessarily side by side.
I think that's really
important just because you're going to have eyes on people most of the time. Not that Sarah needs to do that, but you're like, oh, I'm with them. You know, I'm here, even though I'm running by myself. I've got somebody, you know, 50 feet in front of me and I've got somebody 20 feet behind me, you know?
Right. Oh, that's smart, Tim.
Yeah. So having that, and then I would just say, you know, like, I mean, you know, if you want to make it structured, and I do think that that's easiest because then, you know, you have something to follow and some guidelines to follow. And the good thing about the 5K run walk program that we have is that you can always just keep at a certain, you could, like, if you're, say, at 30 seconds running, 30 seconds walking, and that feels best for you, like, you can just stay there and keep just extending your time. It's also just nice to have like a goal instead of just saying, okay, we're going to go run today. We're going to go run walk today. Like how far do you want to go? You know,
right.
Again, because with a group, like if it's just you and me, Sarah, we could decide that between you and me. But if it's 15 of us and they're all different levels, that's, you know, so that's where I would start.
Yeah. Cause I also think having that 5K race also gives you all something shiny and shimmery out there that you're all working toward. And so that there's a sense of, I'm doing this for a reason, perhaps more tangible. You can't really touch it, but, you know, whereas instead of thinking like, oh, I'm doing this because it makes my heart stronger or because, you know, it helps stabilize my blood sugar, something like that, which is kind of like, eh, whatever.
Yeah.
I also think, you know, planning, then you can maybe think about like, oh, okay, let's all wear our the kids, I don't know, the t-shirts that they get or something, like have try to come up with, outfits that are matching shirts or socks or I don't know, something like that, kind of make it fun like that. And it, that the parents, these moms, spend so much time cheering and spectating their kids playing, I think it's fun to then think about, like, okay, kids, now it's our turn. We're all doing this 5K on Saturday, and we would love for you to be at the starting line or at mile three or whatever it is, and the tables get turned, and you're going to cheer for us.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe the kids won't even want to join,
So, and beat them.
I mean, yeah, exactly. And I mean, the other thing they could do, just because, sometimes registration fees can get high, I mean, they could even like hold their own after a soccer practice, I mean, just throwing that out there, but just something, like make it simple and easy. It's more fun to have the fanfare and have the water, the aid stations and the metal and all that kind of stuff. But if cost is an issue, then you could also DIY it.
Yeah. Well, so Sarah, please keep us posted, because I just love the spirit of this. And she sent me a follow-up email, because I texted her a couple questions and asked her for a picture, and just, oh my goodness, the details of the people who are in this group. It's just so moving and heartwarming, and just, I was glad to have a tissue nearby. So
that's awesome. One thing I want to mention, just because Sarah said that she runs for an hour and she watches practice for an hour. Mm-hmm. And so Sarah is obviously a pretty experienced runner to be able to run for an hour. Mm-hmm. And one of the things a long time ago, and I only mentioned this because it popped up in my Facebook memory, like I think yesterday, I did a Skirt Sports used to have, I can't remember what it was called, but it was like a help somebody run a 5K, like, grow a runner kind of thing. And I did it with this Australian woman named Pip. It's when Nicole DeBoom, Nicole DeBoom owned Skirt Sports. It was, 15 years ago, probably. And and Sarah obviously wants these people to start running, and I'm sure she's very empathetic, but it's sometimes hard to remember how hard it is to begin running. If you've been a runner for a long time, and obviously, it's just a different gear. And I'm not saying like, oh, Sarah's really fast and these guys are going to be really slow, but just again, like thinking about effort, like, helping them keep it easy, helping them, just, encouraging them. I mean, I just remember it really brought me back when I was helping Pip kind of with consistency, how hard it can be. Mm-hmm. So really, I mean, again, like I'm not saying Sarah doesn't have this, but I just think sometimes it's easy to be like, oh, running, running is easy. And it is, after you found your groove to, but I just wanted to
throw that out there. Just start at square one.
Start at square one, and just really remember that, what feels easy to you now took a long time to get to that point. Mm-hmm. And so just go back to gear one. Exactly.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And that's important for all of us to remember that, if you're coming back from injury, you have to start with that beginner mindset again.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, we're taking a quick break to hear from the brands that support this free content. We'll be back soon with more questions and answers. We had a gloriously sunny weekend here in Portland, so I spent a lot of time in Tifosi sunglasses. I have numerous pairs because they are so reasonably priced, are so comfortable, and provide such great protection. I run in the Swank, a super popular model available in 27 frame and lens color combos. My choice this weekend was the Satin Crystal Teal Polarized because I adore the clarity the polarized lenses provide, letting me admire all the blooms and leaves springing out on trees. Tifosi glasses are super high quality. Tifosi Glide technology allows the frame to slide on comfortably and provide an anti-bounce fit. Hydrophilic rubber nose pads provide more grip the more you sweat, so the glasses stay secure during even your most intense activities. They don't bounce or slip on runs. No shocker, but I also played a lot of pickleball this weekend, wearing a new pair of Tifosis, the Dolomite 2.0, a sleek and stylish wrap style. They have phototech lenses, which get lighter or darker depending on the light they are exposed to. Great for cloudy conditions. Like all Tifosi shades, they don't fog up when things heat up. Oh, and did I mention how reasonably priced Tifosis are? Many colors of those popular Swank shades are just $25. Plus, we have an exclusive deal for you. Get 20% off Tifosi sunglasses with code AMR20 at TifosiOptics.com. Get 20% off Tifosi sunglasses using code AMR20 at TIFOSIOptics.com. Again, that code AMR20 at TIFOSIOptics.com. It's spring racing season, so rest and recovery are especially critical for peak performance and thriving in the non-athletic parts of your day. The number one most effective form of recovery is optimal sleep. I recently started sleeping more soundly and waking feeling more refreshed thanks to a new pillow. It's by Lagoon, founded by a Minnesota husband and wife team who are lifelong athletes and new first-time parents, and they were in search of better sleep. Lagoon makes premium performance pillows with athletes in mind. There are 7 pillow styles to choose from with an easy 2-minute quiz to learn your perfect pillow for sliding effortlessly into deep, restorative sleep. My perfect pillow? The Otter, which is fully adjustable, meaning you can remove fill to make the height just right for your own personal neck and back alignment. I took out some fill to let my neck relax better overnight. Since sleeping on the Otter, an odd phrase I realize, I fall asleep faster, wake up less frequently during the night, and wake feeling more well-rested. If you're looking for hard data, I've got some for you. A running coach named Ruth Atkinson saw her REM sleep surge by a staggering 17% and her deep sleep rocket by 62% within the first 2 weeks of using her Lagoon pillow. Sleep more soundly and wake up more refreshed with the perfect Lagoon pillow for you. Go to lagoonsleep.com/AMR and take their awesome 2-minute sleep quiz to find your match. Then use code AMR for 15% off your first purchase. That's lagoonsleep.com/AMR with code AMR for 15% off your first purchase. lagoonsleep.com/AMR with code AMR for 15% off your first purchase. Okay, here is Heather, who is setting her sights on a marathon.
Hi, this is Heather from Longmont, Colorado. Longtime listener, first-time caller. I've been using your training plan since your first book. Thank you for all of it and for the awesome and inspiring community you've built along the way. Here's my question. I am thinking about doing my second marathon next year for my 50th birthday. I've been running for almost 20 years. I've run about a dozen half marathons and a bunch of 10Ks, and I'm currently running about 25 miles a week. My first and only marathon so far was back in 2016. I did a lot of things wrong. My kids were younger. I had less sleep, less time, less disposable income. I didn't think a lot about nutrition beyond staying hydrated, and I didn't strength train at all either. 8 years later, I've got more training time, I'm better rested, and I have a year to grow. Where should I start preparing if I want to stay strong and injury-free? And if I splurge on one thing, what should it be? Nutrition guidance, a running coach, a training group, sports massages? Please say massages. Thanks for your advice.
Oh, Heather, I love that you are planning so far in advance. Dim, I feel it's like a theme of so many of the questions we get.
Well, I know, I was just about to say, this feels very similar to the question from Stacey. last episode, was it, or 2 episodes ago?
It was last episode, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and I have to say that please say massages at the end of your message, Heather.
That's awesome.
Made me laugh out loud in my empty office.
I love it. I love it. Seriously. I love that. And I love that she's got this perspective now of 8 years later. Like, I want to not necessarily do it faster, but I want to do it better and kind of have more support and for herself physically and mentally, kind of. So,
yeah. And also to have that perspective, because I think it's easy. I was just thinking about the other day, I was like, oh, I was in my 30s when I ran my first marathon. You know, why didn't I run it faster or something like that? It's like to be like, oh, okay, well, I didn't know all the drills I know now, or I wasn't strength training, or, you know, that sort of thing. So to remember the conditions, what your life was when you trained for a race. Yeah. So, so Coach Dimity, when I listen to the voicemails, I enjoy trying to guess what your advice will be on them. It's a little game I play with myself. So for this one, I had 2 thoughts, either that Heather should commit to a regular strength training to help her stay strong and resilient, or that she should see a PT for prehab. But alas, I don't think get regular massages is going to be your advice. But I hope for Heather's sake, I'm mistaken.
Well, so, I mean, that sounds very delicious, doesn't it? I mean, the one that I would actually pick out of the ones that she threw out is, as much as I love our group training plans, I think that they're very effective and, you know, they get people from the first step to the finish line feeling super strong, but it's to hire a running coach. Because a private running coach, because that person will help you with strength training. I mean, they should help you. Oh, they should give you strength training, and they should help you identify your weaknesses, you know, so that you are, you know, got your hips all aligned. You got, you know, you got strength in your glutes, all the things that you need to be a strong runner. Mm-hmm. And then they would also, I would imagine, and I know coaches are not nutritionists or mm-hmm. dietitians or anything like that, but they should have a basic idea of how to fuel properly for a marathon, mm-hmm. especially mm-hmm. on long runs. And if we don't, we have a great nutrition for running half marathon and marathon, you mm-hmm. know, little mm-hmm. supplement that you could get. But that like knocks out a bunch of the, that knocks the
umbrella.
Out three things.
It's an yeah. umbrella. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's kind of a cheater answer, Dimity. but also then, do you think that Heather should then hire this coach kind of ahead of the time, you know, so let's say she wants to train for 16 or 20 weeks. Do you think she should hire that coach ahead of that, you know, 4 or 5 months?
I would definitely have the person in mind. Like I would definitely plan for 20 weeks. That's 4 months, I think, or 5 months, actually. I think that's plenty of time, mm-hmm. especially because she's at 25 miles a week now. Mm-hmm. I think I would definitely have that person kind of ready to go, you know, so I would interview a couple of coaches, you know, either get people locally in your area that you know of, or somebody, you know, we've got great coaches on our staff from Jess and Amy, Liz and Jen, Christy, but Christy's an ultra coach. She's also a running coach too, but you could definitely reach out to us and we can put you in touch with them if you want to work mm-hmm. with one of them and, you know, just get a sense, just interview them. This is what I want to do. This, mm-hmm. How would you train me? What would you do? And then, you know, say, how long do you need? Right. I do think that you need to work with a coach for at least 3 months, if not longer, to really find your groove. And because it takes a couple weeks to kind of settle into the relationship a little bit, to feel the rhythm, see, you know, what they expect, how you guys communicate well, that kind of thing. So I wouldn't want it to be like 12 weeks and have a couple weeks be for like orientation, so to speak, and then be like, let's go, you know? So that's where I would spend my money. And I would, you know, do some research at least 7 months out, as 6 to 7. I don't know. It just depends upon how invested she wants to be.
Yeah. I am reminded of our musical theater sons that, you know, you have to rehearse before you go on stage. So
yeah. you do. Yeah.
All right. This is Mary, who has a question about rest time between track intervals.
Hi, my name is Mary. I'm calling from Nashville. And my question is about intervals and how fast or slow the rest between the intervals should be. I am currently trying to break 20 minutes for a 5K. So my recent workout was 400 meter repeats at a 6 minute pace. And then there was a 400 meter jog recovery between those reps. So what pace should I aim for to get those recoveries in? Or is there no such thing as too fast as long as I'm able to hit that goal pace for each rep? I guess in the contrary, can you go too slow by walking the 400 meters for the rep? Also, when the reps get longer, let's say a mile repeat, is it better to stop during the rep to catch your breath or to keep running and not hit the goal pace? Thanks for a great show. Bye.
Okay, wowza, Mary. I am in awe of your speedy goal. I had to listen to it twice to be like, wait, she said 20 minutes for her 5K.
Not 30? Yeah, I know. That's great. I love it. Big goals. And I think that's, I'm impressed too. I mean, whatever it is, it's going after a goal. And I think going after a goal in a 5K is hard. Like whether you want to come down to 29 minutes from 30 or 20 minutes from 21, because, you know, you're on from the beginning, right? If there's no room for like, I'm going to stop and take a picture with my family, you know, like, like I am running, I am focused, I am pushing. And that's the beauty and the challenge of the 5K.
Yeah. Okay. So Mary actually has several questions in her voicemail, Coach Dimity, as you heard. So I'm going to cue them up one at a time for you. Okay. So first, when doing shorter intervals, like Mary's 400 meter repeats, what pace should she be doing on the recovery segments between each speedy ones? Because I'm a bit concerned when Mary said, is there no such thing as too fast? As I definitely think there is, based on what running coaches have told me in my training over the years.
Yeah, 100%. You don't, I mean, these are not fast, right? So, I mean, I would imagine that, so just say she's jogging them. I mean, you're jogging them, right? You're mm-hmm. taking your time. You're not, there's no pace on them. Okay. Mm. Like, so don't be like, I've got to get this done in, I don't know, 2 minutes or whatever it happens to be. You know, sometimes you do a recovery that's as long as your interval, but it sounds like she's got like a very planned workout. So if it says, you know, say her 400 takes her, I don't know, a minute, 20 seconds or something like that. It wouldn't take her that long, but maybe it would.
Quote unquote, that long.
I know, right? Or a minute, say it takes her a minute 30 and then you take another minute 30 of recovery. But in that case, I would be standing. I would just be walking around where I am, like where my starting point is of my 400.
Because otherwise you're like, wait, where on the track did I start? Like,
exactly. Yeah, exactly. So I would just be, you know, kind of moving, not stopping. But but most of the time it's like recover for a lap. And that means easy jog, a walk. But I think that she's fit enough that she'd probably just be an easy jog, you know, somewhere. I imagine it would probably take her 2:30 or something like that around, which would be fine.
So she asks, it is okay to walk for that recovery?
It is. Yeah. I mean, again, like sometimes it does say jog the recovery. I mean, you know, it's hard to know exactly just because I don't have the workout here in front of me. I mean, most of the time the recovery though, the point of it is what the verb is to recover, right? Yes, you know, you know, it's going to get harder and harder to recover as you do those 400. And so even walking, you know, during at that point on number six, it's going to still be harder than number one was.
Oh yes. It's, you're not going to feel back to 100% when you start the next interval. Yeah.
So, but that's really what it is. But I would challenge her to say, I wouldn't walk the first one. I wouldn't walk the first recovery. I would keep it a slow jog, keep it a slow jog for as long as you can. If some point you need to walk. And again, this is Mary specific. If this is somebody else who was like, I'm aiming for my first 5K, like our friend Sarah, totally walk your recovery, right? Like we're doing a run walk very intentionally. So, you know, it really depends upon the runner, but I would say jog, easy. Don't worry about the time until
turn it on.
But I wouldn't drag it out either. Don't be like, okay, get back to do your one lap and then, okay, I'm gonna drink some water. I'm gonna check my phone, maybe send a text, then I'm gonna go, you know, like don't do that.
Just do it. Yes. Okay. Okay. Then for the second part of Mary's questions, when she's doing longer intervals, such as mile repeats, which might be done on a track or out on the road or on a treadmill, when she gets tired while pushing the pace, is it better to switch to walking mid-mile or keep pushing even if she's not going to hit that goal pace? And I know what my answer would be, which would be the latter, to finish running that mile repeat even if Mary misses that goal time. But I'm curious to hear what you as a coach have to say about this, Tim.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I would agree with you, Sarah. I think it's important to, yay, big money. Because that's an indication of where your fitness is, right? And so, you know, for you to take a big break, maybe it means that you need to dial back that mile, you know, maybe the goal for that, maybe you need to dial back by 10, 15 seconds, 20 seconds, maybe, depending upon what it is, you know, and then work back towards the one where you're like, I am so cooked right now, I cannot finish this mile repeat at this pace, because that just means that you're overreaching, right? That's okay, right? You just have to take it step by step by step. And as you get faster and faster and faster, like the seconds become, you know, it gets harder and harder to whittle off those seconds, right? Because it just don't have as much room to breathe, I guess is how I would describe it. So
literally.
So definitely, you know, try to do the workout as prescribed. Now, that doesn't mean like if you're on your third mile repeat and you're like, I am done. Like that's when you listen to your body and you say, okay, I'm not, but I wouldn't finish it. I would just be done. Right. So, you know, imagine that might be the workout is 3 1-mile repeats for a 5K. That would make sense. So, there are definitely exceptions to that. But as a rule, you want to try to finish the interval no matter what it looks like, just finish and then reevaluate once you get back.
Excellent. All right. Well, Mary, good luck on your quest and keep us posted. That's so exciting.
Very cool.
Yeah. All right. We are really in need of questions, people. Really, 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 really in need of questions.
There's ever a time we are not.
No, it's we're getting fewer questions. I am in love with these questions that we had. And so please call with your question. The number is 470-BADASS-1. That's 470-223-2771. Please tell us your first name and where you're calling from, and please keep your message to a minute or less. And that number is always in our show notes, so you can find it. You don't have to memorize it while you're out on the run.
You don't have to.
Yeah.
Speaking about big goals, the Go the Distance weekend is coming up, Sarah, in about 19 days. This is no April Fools. I know it's April 2nd today, but it is the weekend is April 20th and 21st. It's our first endurance events around another mother runner. And it's going to be such a fun weekend. You basically get to craft your own challenge. You pick what activity you want to do, how long you want to do it, and then the duration of it. It's complicated to explain over a podcast, but I promise 60
second promo. Yes.
But I promise you, you can design it so it's exactly fit for you and pushes you a little bit out of your comfort zone. Mm. We're going to have tons of support, including a Zoom room. We've got a private Facebook page that has already happened that has lots of people talking about what they're going to do already. Mm-hmm. We're going to have some group meetings. So definitely check it out. It is going to be an epic weekend.
Mm. That epic was just for Brandy.
She knows why.
We said that, yes. Yeah, and they can find all the details for that, like everything about Another Mother Runner related at anothermotherrunner.com. Our podcast today was produced in St. Paul, Minnesota by Barry Madure from Fire on the Bluff.
Keep those questions coming. We're here with answers and lots of steps, Sarah.
I was about to say lots of steps. Yes.